to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about... Wait, repartee? Is that a word? Is that what I was supposed to say? The heck is repartee?
Oh, it's lively banter is what it is, announcer friend.
All right, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Whatever. Hosted by Doug Paget, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
And today on the Repartee, Doug Paget and Hunter Hawes, taking you all the way till 5 o'clock. Well, with a couple of news breaks in there, too. Taking you all the way. It's lovely outside, my friends.
I know.
It is. It's alive and well out there. So much goodness coming to you on the Repartee today because, you know, it's glorious outdoors. Just fantastic. We have survived the polar vortex. How do you like that? Do you ever feel like a survivor quite as much as when you've beaten a polar vortex all the way to Friday?
I feel like it's spring now, the rest of winter.
Yeah, I know. It was like it literally was 4 degrees this morning and I was out early driving around. I'm like, this is great.
No, I was the same way.
I'm going to crack the window. It's fantastic. It did not take much for me to feel on top of the world today. And the sun is out and some of the snow is melting from the heat of the infrared heat from the sun. Just fantastic. Well, we're not going to dive right in talking about the sun yet, but with astrophysicist Paul Wallace, we're gonna brag about the sun because we've seen the sun today. Hey, it's Super Bowl weekend, Hunter Hawes. Is that a big deal for you? Do you follow the Super Bowl? Are you a Super Bowler?
I love the Vikings. I guess.
What does that have to do with the Super Bowl? Never have anything to do with the Super Bowl.
That's why it's not important to me.
Their stadium did host the Super Bowl, I guess, last year. Hey, apparently I want to ask astrophysicist Paul Ellis about this at the bottom of the hour because he lives in Decatur, Georgia, which is basically Atlanta, and that's where the game is. And apparently they're having a cold weather issues there in Georgia around the Super Bowl. Because, if it gets cold here and things freeze, we deal with it. You know, we brag about it. We thrive through it. We take 29 below. We put it in our back pocket and we carry it home with us. Down there in Georgia, they get 30 degrees and the whole place shuts down. I mean, it's they're not weather tough in the same way. They're prepared for the summer heat, not for the winter winter blast. Anyway, so we can talk to him about that. I don't care about the Super Bowl so profoundly, but I am going to go to a Super Bowl party on Sunday over at a friend's house, and we're going to have the Super Bowl game on, and then I will do other things. Speaking of parties, did you have something on the Super Bowl
there? Well, I want the Patriots to win just because I went to school in Boston and because no one wants the Patriots to win.
Oh, they're the team playing. Who are they playing against?
The Los Angeles Rams. Yeah, you should learn this.
Well, I do seem to remember that the Boston Patriots, I know they're the New England Patriots, but nobody really thinks that the New England Patriots, they're always in the Super Bowl, right?
Uh-huh.
They just win. They're sort of the Donald Trump of professional football teams. Just nothing but winning.
Getting tired of winning.
Just so tired of winning. Please, Tom. Is it Tom Brady?
Yeah.
I have that right?
Yeah,
please, Tom Brady, stop all the winning. Remember when the president said that kind of stuff? Like, the guy was just, he was just running a TV show for a campaign. And now he's the friggin' president of the United States. Still, there are days where I still have to remind myself, we are living through a national crisis. There is a crisis on the border. And it's the border of Maryland and the District of Columbia called the White House. Speaking of that, people are running for president. I want to, even though it's Friday, and we like to be lighthearted around here and think about the stars and do our news quiz, which we'll do after the break. I do want to make a few comments because today Cory Booker announced that he's running for president. So now that, you know, this is now we're starting to see the onslaught of all the senators that also don't want to do their job for the next 2 years. They want to go looking for a new one, becoming the president, which is great. Everybody should run for president. I have a URL called Everyone Should Run for President, in fact. So I'm all for it. I think everybody should. But most of us won't. Most of us will be given the opportunity to vote. And I just want to make a couple of comments here every time someone wants to run for president to remind us about what the president actually does. Because the president in our current society has sort of two roles. Now, constitutionally, the president has one. The president is the head of the executive branch of the government, which, we should be reminded, is an equal branch of government to the other branches of government. And the Congress should be a separate and equal branch. It shouldn't matter, by the way, to the Senate or to the House who the president is. They are not beholden to the president. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Mitch McConnell. You should not say, oh, I'm just a lowly senator. I have to only pass bills that the president will sign. No, no, no. You are an equal branch of government. Step up and be equal. Make him respond to you as much as you're going to respond to him. He should have to just as much support a bill that you passed as you should have to support a bill that he would sign. I mean, you're an equal branch of government, for the love. But anyway, the president of the United States is the executive over the executive branch. And that means that the president oversees 15 departments in our current construct. So these 15 departments that the president oversees is a major part of a president's job. So when you're thinking about a presidential candidate, it's super important to know that the person who's going to be the president is not just someone who has one idea that you like, or one idea that you don't care for, or they're championing one thing that really, really matters to you. Because the president, once she puts her hand on that Bible and has to take that oath of office, she is then responsible for all 15 of these departments and all of the executive branch. So please, just whomever you choose to support. And I don't care who it is on this point. I mean, I do care ultimately in the end, and I'll make my arguments as we start to see all the candidates. But no matter who you support, only support people you think can actually do the entire job. They have to oversee a complex and sophisticated part of our government, which includes 15 cabinet departments, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of the Treasury, the Justice Department, the Interior Department, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Commerce, Department of Labor, Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Energy, the Department of Education, the Department of Veteran Affairs, the Department of Homeland Security. That was like an angel getting his wings. Did you hear that? I didn't do that off of memory. I had to even look them up because, you know, I don't want to pull one of those. Who was that? Who was that governor from Texas that couldn't remember which departments he wanted to get rid of when he was running? Rick Perry.
Oh, Rick Perry.
Rick Perry in that debate. It's like, I'm gonna.
I'm gonna
get rid of those departments. And then they said, well, which departments did you get rid of? He's like, oh, Interior and remember anymore. And he said I was on back pain medication. Which could have been true, poor sucker. But anyway, even Rick Perry knew enough to say the president has to oversee all of these departments. So when you're thinking about the president and who you're going to support in the primaries, in caucuses, in the presidential election, just know the president has a full job more than supporting any one particular policy position. Now, I know that in most politics, most people, it's going to boil down to, do I like the person? Do I trust the person? And do they support one or two ideas that I think matter? For most of us, that's true. But not our AM 950 and Minnesota Progressive Repartee listeners. We are going to encourage everyone to think about all the job a president has. Now, in addition to the executive functions of a president, so if you're thinking about Cory Booker and Kamala Harris or Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, or who's the candidate that you had on last week that supports
Andrew Yang,
just consider, does the person have what it takes to lead the government? Because we know what it looks like when you have Donald Trump as the president who doesn't know how to run anything. It's a disaster. You don't want a disaster. You don't want a disaster on either side. But then the president also has this de facto spokesperson for the party and for the country role. Now, I personally believe that we should have our presidents become a nonpartisan position once they take the oath of office. I think we should change our structure so that the president is the president of everyone and is not beholden to any one particular party. That's my own particular opinion. I've got a lot of reasons for that, and I'd love to debate that sometime. with people who like the partisan nature of the presidency. But for now, the president is the leader of the party, whatever party they represent, and they're also this de facto spokesperson and leader of the country, or at least leader of the political part of the country, and as some people like to use the phrase, the leader of the free world, which I'm sure all those other people who are also rocking in the free world don't care so much for the fact that we think that the United States president is the leader of the entire free world. But anyway, that is a significant role too. And they're two equal heads to this monster that we call the presidency. All of your executive function, sort of think about how your brain is divided with your left brain and your right brain, at least if you're not talking to neurologists, because they'll tell you that's not exactly right. But just pretend it's true. Your left brain and your right brain. One part of your brain has executive function. The other part of your brain is about creativity and beauty and generative kind of work. The president's sort of like that. The president has an executive function. And the president also has this spokesperson for the people. Now, that's the side in which the policies you think matter, the way they are, their temperament, if you'd like to, you know, spend some time with them, if you believe that they like you, which I think is the primary motivation for most people voting for anyone, is not that they like the candidate, but that they fundamentally believe the candidate would like them if they had a chance to be friends. That's an important part, too. So let that drive you. Let that be your attraction. Let that be the thing that connects you to the person, makes you pay attention to them, their ideas, their persona, the way they are in the world. But then also recognize that they actually have to do the job. And as we're finding out, you can't be a startup. This is the presidency of the United States is not a starter position. You don't learn the job while you're in the job. We've had too much of that going on, and it's time to... Now, look, people can do lots of other things to make them qualified to be president. Just ask yourself and everyone else the question, is the person prepared? And then my last point in 10 seconds, this. Voting is a tool of democracy. It's a tool you use for an outcome. It's not your place to simply express every political opinion you've ever had about anything. We're never going to agree with every candidate fully and completely. You get to express your own political opinions in a whole lot of ways in addition to whomever you vote for. So let's vote for someone who we know is going to win, is going to lead the country in both the executive and in the de facto leadership way. All right, so that's Doug Padgett. We're going to come back with the news quiz here after the break on Minnesota's Progressive Repartee on AM 950, Progressive Voice
Hello,
of Minnesota.
This is Andrew Yang, Democratic candidate for president, and you're listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At Termbusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call Termbusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Hi, this is Paul Metza from the Wawa Power Radio Hour. You are about to hear my buddies, the Cool Cats, Hunter, Doug, and Brett, the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Tune in and check those dudes out.
I love being called the Cool Cat.
I know, that's my favorite one.
All right, Cool Cat, you ready?
I'm ready.
We're gonna take the news quiz. This is one of my favorite Friday features. We've got to get cracking because, you know, this is a shorter segment, friends. All right, so play along with us at home on your iPad if you're watching on the stream. By the way, these shows are often or normally streamed over on Facebook if you like to, you know, watch one side of a radio conversation. It's happening. All right, here we go. The first one starts out with a true or false. It was a historic polar vortex as Minnesota hit a new record low this week at 56 below zero in Cotton, Minnesota. And the picture on this question are those things where people have made pants wet and then brought them out to put them up. This is apparently a thing people have been doing for generations. I've just seen it this year.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I just saw it this year too. First time.
I think they're tricking us on this one. I think that the record zero, the record low is like 60 below.
Yeah, I agree.
We're going to go false?
False.
Correct. False. 60 below was set in 1996 in Tower, Minnesota. Got a whole story about that. I'll tell you sometime. All right. Here we go. Next question. The Senate rebuked President Trump this week. Oh, for the love. My computer refreshes. Sometimes takes me back. The Senate rebuked President Trump this week by advancing an amendment that conflicts with him on which issue? Funding his border wall? Raises for federal workers, withdrawing U.S. troops from Syria and Afghanistan, or a deal with North Korea to dismantle its nuclear arsenal. They did rebuke him, and it was, I know this one.
Withdrawing the troops.
Withdrawing the troops. I'm going to go with that one, too. Hey, we're batting 100. What destination retailer will close its Mall of America store on March 20th, about a decade after opening there? I know this one without even seeing the choices. The Lego Store, Sears, Nordstrom Rack, American Girl.
What are you saying?
American Girl.
Not Sears?
I'm trying to sing Tom Petty. I just saw a news story about American Girl. I think it is American Girl.
In a decade, Sears has been there longer than that.
Yeah, I'm going to take American Girl. Correct.
Now, wow.
Correct. American Girl, going out of business. Says something about something. I don't know what. What TV show is being canceled with helping... I'm sorry. Which TV show is being credited with helping save a person's life when a rescuer said a classic scene helped him remember the correct tempo for CPR chest compression? This is awesome. Was it MASH, The Office, Friends, or ER? I don't know this one.
I don't know either.
MASH, The Office, Friends, ER. God, it could be any one of those in my imagination.
What's the most recent one? The Office?
The Office would be the most recent.
That would be my guess why it would be popping up now.
All right, here we go. The Office. Oh, Hunter, you're magic, my friend. Oh, correct. Correct. An Arizona mechanic said that when Steve Carell's character does CPR to the tune of the Bee Gees song, Stayin' Alive, That's the correct jumbo. That's awesome. Great call. And good logic on that one, too. All right. A group of legislators proposed this week making what breed the official Minnesota state dog. How's that even right? A group of legislators proposed this week making what breed the official Minnesota state dog breed. Did they propose the Great Dane, the Labrador Retriever, the Labradoodle, which is the only dog I really would ever fall in love with, or the Shih Tzu?
I know this one.
You do?
It's the Labrador Retriever.
The Labrador Retriever. Good call, my man. Their dogs are good looking and sleek, and they're sinewy. They're fast. They're strong, said David Tomasani from Chisholm. I don't think guys got better things to be doing, I think, like trying to save the state. Furloughed federal workers went back to work this week after the longest government shutdown in history. How many days did they stay out? 25, 30, 35, 40.
I know this one, too.
Do you? 35?
35, yep.
Yep, 35 days. All right, hey, we're killing it. 7 out of 10, and we are 7 out of 10. We're 6 out of 10. Seventh question. Who won the Australian Open women's title this week, becoming the first woman since Jennifer Capriati in 2001 to win her first two major back-to-back, first two major titles back-to-back? Was it Petra Kvitova, Samoa Halep, Sloane Stephens, or Naomi Osaka?
I got
Did I
no
say
clue.
Any of those names right?
Do we have lifelines?
I just feel like it's America in 2019. We got to go with the most Russian sounding.
Yeah, do it.
All right, Petra. Incorrect. Oh. it was Osaka. Person who won didn't even play the person. All right, that killed us. I've got to follow more women's sports. During the deep freeze that struck Minnesota this week, what temperature did Xcel Energy ask all Minnesota customers to lower their thermostats to? Was it 59, 61, 63, or 65?
I didn't get a notice.
I'm going to say 65 because I think everything else is just too cold.
Yeah.
You think?
Or yeah,
I seem
highest.
To remember Brett saying something about 61.
I'm
really feeling the pressure now here after getting that women's tennis open one wrong. I wonder if we should ask for a lifeline.
Exactly.
Somebody calls us 61 or 65. What do you want to do? For some reason I'm attracted to 61, but I feel like that's just too low.
I agree, but if Brett said it.
I don't know if he said it. Sometimes I just have dreams about Brett and I just hear him saying things to me in my dreams. So
all right, then let's go with the high one, 65.
65. Incorrect. They turn the and later that day they 63. No, it wasn't either one of those. So I feel better. Okay, all right, we're out of the running. You know, we're like Amy Klobuchar running for president. We're already out of the running. But here we go. Who has not announced? Well, did you see that article today about her in the paper? That people in Iowa were like, you know, we love her. She should be vice president. that's a death blow.
Yeah.
Who has not announced that they're running for president in 2020 or that they have formed an exploratory committee for a run? Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, Kirsten Gillibrand, or Cory Booker?
What a coincidence. Amy Klobuchar.
Boom. She said nothing about nothing. Shouldn't even make fun of her. I also didn't announce my candidacy yet.
Me neither.
But I'm willing to do it at the end of the
segment. Oh, I'm not 35.
Will you be by inauguration day?
No, maybe the next election I might.
All right. Well, it'd be good luck to you. If there's a country then, that'd be great. How many shows did rock legend Neil Young perform in Minneapolis this week? One, two, three, or four? Do you know it's Neil Young week?
No, I didn't even know about this.
It's Neil Young week. How many did he perform this week? I'm going to say four. Correct. And only 63 got this right. He had an unprecedented four nights in four different theaters and 6 days solo stand in Minneapolis. I didn't go to a single one of them, and I wish that I had. 80%. Nice job. And as they say here on the news, on this news quiz, you did pretty well. Such a Minnesota compliment. You did pretty well. Well, hang in there, kids. You'll do better next time. All right. 8 out of 10. That's about us. We're above average, but not that much. Hey, we'll be back with the astrophysicist after the break on Minnesota's Progressive Repartee.
Hi there. This is Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
For the week, I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio, and today I'll be letting you in on a couple of very cool arts events in the area this weekend. Tomorrow, from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, get on down to Minneapolis to hear the sensory-friendly String Quintet. Join them in the Target Atrium for an engaging and interactive concert featuring Minnesota Orchestra Concertmaster Aaron Keefe, First Violinist Sarah Grimes, Principal Viola Rebecca Albers, Associate Principal Cello Silver Anome, and Acting Associate Principal Bass Catherine Nettleman. Also on the program, talented guest musicians from the audience. The Minnesota Orchestra's sensory-friendly small ensemble concerts are inclusive experiences for patrons of all ages and abilities, including individuals on the autism spectrum and those with sensory sensitivities. Concerts take place in a relaxed environment where audience members are welcome to be who they are and enjoy music with friends and family. Lindy Walker of Toneworks Music Therapy Services hosts these concerts. Go to minnesotaorchestra.org for more details and to reserve your tickets today. This Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., get on out to St. Paul for the Winter Carnival Family Day. Presented by Ecolab, St. Paul Family Day is the perfect day to bring your family down to the Winter Carnival. Enjoy live entertainment and family-friendly activities throughout the landmark center. There will be archery inflatables, face painting, button making, a photo booth, cultural activities, and more. The Tour of Nations activity encourages exploration into nations such as South Korea, Egypt, India, Mexico, France, and Ireland. Once completed, you may enter in the Family Day raffle for a special prize. Also featuring Star Wars characters from the 501st Legion Central Garrison. You won't want to miss it. Look up the Winter Carnival Family Day event in St. Paul on Facebook to learn more about what they have to offer this Saturday afternoon. That's Art Beat for the week. I'm Elizabeth Horob, co-host of Connections Radio Show, airing live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
Many adults drink, and most also drive. Unfortunately, these activities are sometimes mixed, and it's a fatal combination. Don't take a chance with your life or the lives of others. Don't drink and drive. A tip from Ron Cassa Construction, helping raise awareness of important issues affecting our local communities. Building for a better tomorrow. That's Ron Cassa Construction, your experienced and reliable local construction contractor and longtime sponsor of this community awareness program. Ron Cassa Construction, reminding you that it's never okay to drink and drive.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for mostly cloudy skies today with a high near 19. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 15. Saturday, sunny with a high near 35. And Sunday, cloudy with a high around 37. Milda's Cafe is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week. They're a family restaurant featuring home-cooked breakfast and lunch, plus they have fresh omelets, hash browns, and hot dish specials every day. Milda's Cafe is located at 1720 Glenwood Avenue in Minneapolis, just east of Penn. Details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
That's for you, astrophysicist Paul Wallace.
How are you, Doug?
Great. I've been waiting days for that little joke, my friend. If people don't know, that is the very young man's band Journey. And Paul Wallace wrote on Facebook the other day. He had to make an apology. He had to make an apology that he likes Stone in Love by Journey. And I'm like,
yeah, I do. I do like it. But I grew up among some dudes who, let's just say that it wasn't cool. to like Journey among these good friends of mine. Otherwise, brilliant fellows, but I felt intimidated and unable to share. But now that I'm a middle-aged man, I feel like I can now come out to the world and admit my love for that particular song.
You know, in some worlds, you could say, now that I am an astrophysicist that has worked at the NASA's lab of super stargazing or whatever it is you worked at, you get to say, I like any band I want, and I did when I was in high school. I think that's a fun feature we should have with all of our guests. We should ask them what's the song or band that you secretly like and have had to sort of keep that under wraps. And for you,
I mean, it's a great conversation starter.
Yeah, great conversation starter. For me, it is clearly now everything Lady Gaga. I have just gone Gaga for Lady Gaga.
Have you really?
Totally. Oh, totally. I am. It's really sycophantic. It's probably, you know, once the restraining order came from her team, I realized I got to step back a little bit. This is really gone over the edge. No, not just the movie A Star Is Born, but just the whole thing. I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan.
The whole phenomenon of Lady Gaga.
The whole thing. I'll tell you, if you've never watched the Lady Gaga documentary about Lady Gaga, which is produced by Lady Gaga and team promoting
this album,
it kind of gives you behind the scenes of her launching an album that culminates with her performing at the Super Bowl 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
I remember that. Yes.
Whenever that was. And she's so human. I mean, you will just realize she's, so often people that we, that show us their persona, also just a real person and the real person-ness of Lady. Anyway, see, here I go again. Here I go just fawning over her greatness. But anyway, it's called 5'2". It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And you can watch it with your anyone in your family, as long as you're comfortable with a little bit of swearing, but not too bad. It's not crass or anything like that. But anyway, you're an astrophysicist with more important things to talk about than Journey and Lady Gaga.
Annie Dillard's an author. She said that there's only a few things that are actually worth talking about in conversation. And one of those is the weather. So I got to know, you guys still alive? I mean, it sounds like you are.
We are alive and thriving. And I'm glad you brought this up because I wasn't sure how to get into it. You know, Minnesota, where the Minnesota Vikings play, hosted a Super Bowl last year. The Vikings.
And we're hosting this year. Atlanta's hosting this year.
Well, that's what came up because last year we had all this. We had a cold snap that wasn't polar vortex cold the way this year was, but it was really cold around the Super Bowl. And it kind of was a bummer for people, and they were complaining. There was all kinds of weather-related things. I heard a news story that down there in Atlanta, where you live, you're also having some sort of cold weather news that's affecting the festivities around the Super Bowl.
No.
You're not?
That's not right. We have a high on Sunday of 58 and a low of 42.
Well, earlier in the week, was there some kind of a chill in the air? Was there?
We did have a chance. We got down into the teens one night.
Okay. Well, apparently that because it, you know, the Super Bowl has a week's worth of activity or 10 days or something.
And we also got a little bit of rain, and they thought it might actually be snow. And you know what snow does to my fair city? We don't know what to do.
Well, that's what I was bringing up. Yeah, because you had to do something more than put a light jacket on to cover the 58-degree high. Well, hey, did you? Is this a boon for you at all, having the Super Bowl in your city? Did you find a way to make any kind of
No, but I got some friends who were getting out of town because we all live pretty close to a subway station, to a train station, and so I got some friends. She got a little tiny one bedroom apartment. She's renting out for about $300 a night for three nights.
Yeah, really.
And she's
great.
Going up to her, you know, her family's house up in North Georgia, so, you know, she'll make rent this month's rent just from that, or at least
just
most from of rent from that.
Yeah, we went on a vacation last year and paid for all of it off of the people that lived in our house for 5 days.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
And I'm sure people did there what they're doing here, which is, you know, they got a hotel room like 18 months ago for like $200-$300, and now they're getting, you know, basically selling them off for $1,500, $2,000 a piece for a night. These are just like normal hotel rooms.
Huh. Oh, and they're just doing it on the sly. They're just like, hey, I've got a room. I'll get a key. I'll meet you. You give me the money, and I'll give you the key.
Yeah,
like
pretty much. Yeah. Wow. Pretty much. I guess people have, you know, the time and money to come for a week and spend thousands of dollars a day on this event.
They do. People do. I mean, it's just outrageous as it is. And, you know, I don't think it's good for the economy overall. I think the amount of money spent on is probably a wash, if not costing cities money. But it does put you on the map.
Yeah.
And you just know that people like to spend that kind of money on those events. As long as we're just chit-chatting here. I was in Phoenix earlier this week, and they are hosting a big golf tournament this week. Called the Waste Management Golf Tournament. Maybe it's a PGA tournament or something. It's one of their big ones. Maybe it's a major of some kind. And those things will bring in hundreds of thousands of people in for these golf tournaments. And they're the same way.
Wow.
They're just people spend.
Well, yeah, that happens in Augusta. That happens in Augusta, right? Here in Georgia. Yeah, for the Masters. Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable. So I'm told.
Well, good luck to you. It just all
thanks,
comes
man.
And goes, and then everybody goes home, and then that's.
I'm just hunkering down with the family.
do you watch the game? Are you somebody who cares?
Yeah, we'll watch it for sure. We'll watch it. I hate the Patriots because of what happened to Atlanta between them and Atlanta a couple few years ago.
Uh-huh.
I hate the Patriots on principle, but especially because what happened. What they did to Atlanta, I don't even talk about that. The only time I felt that bad after some particular event on television was when Trump got elected.
Really?
It felt like what happened to the Falcons that night.
You mean that's when the team that's in your city lost a football game?
Yes, we played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and we were ahead by the end of the third quarter. I don't know what it was, but basically we ran out of steam, and we just completely fell apart. And it was you know, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory kind of thing. You know,
yeah,
well, we had
I'm sorry
it.
To,
and
I'm
for
sorry
Atlanta,
to hear
you know, that's that's never happened for us. You know, we don't have a team like you do with a history. You know,
yeah, I was gonna say Hunter can talk you through the trauma therapy around being a sports fan.
It's brutal.
try like 50 years of a franchise.
Well, that's what we've got with the Falcons. We've never won a single flipping Super Bowl.
You beat us the year that we were supposed to win, 1998. So I'm still salty about that too.
Yeah, there you go.
1998, was that almost 21 years ago now?
That was our year. I even went down to Miami to go to that Super Bowl because the Vikings were supposed to be in it. I was young.
I mean, that's the thing. The Vikings Vikings fans are bitter about losing games to get into the Super Bowl because they don't even get there. We're not even Super Bowl. What am I doing? People who live here and root for the Vikings are not, because I can't claim Viking fanship. I'm a total fair weather fan. If they win, I'm in. If they don't, then I just act like I don't care. But you know, we don't get in the Super Bowl. We just leave that to the other teams.
You used to though, like way back when, right?
Yeah, like literally during the Nixon administration. Right, Hunter. You could remind me, or was it Jerry Ford? Was it 70? Was it before 75?
Yeah, Nixon sounds right.
76. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. This is like when kickers had one bar across their face mask. I mean, it's been a long.
Yeah. Right. Long, right. I know exactly long, what you're talking about.
Long.
Yeah.
Long time. All right. Hey. Okay. We've almost chewed up an entire segment chit chatting like a couple of friends over the back porch. Do you have any sky news we should jump into?
Outer space is still out there. It turns out, and near to home, I came across some numbers in Scientific American a week or two back. We were talking about, you might recall, we're talking about space junk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff that ends up in around the orbit here of our fair planet. And I got some numbers here. Objects larger than 10 centimeters, which is basically a softball or bigger. This is just pieces of junk in space. looked over from thousands upon thousands of rockets that have gone up and satellites and so forth.
Oh, my gosh.
Larger than 10 centimeters, there are approximately 29,000 of these orbiting the Earth, and roughly the same orbit. Some of them are further out, but most of them are in low Earth orbit. So tens of thousands of these things, larger than a softball. Okay.
Unbelievable.
Between 1 centimeter and 10 centimeters, so between the size of a marble and a softball, there's almost 1,750,000. And between a millimeter and 1 centimeter, there are 166 million objects up there orbiting the Earth. And all of these could, if they hit the right object, the right satellite at the right time and in the right place, could do serious damage.
So yeah, because they're all traveling at what speed? What speed do things travel if they're
20,000 miles an hour, roughly, relative speeds, and higher than that. So in the tens of thousands of miles per hour.
I mean, and we're just getting started with sending things up there.
Yeah, we're the number is rising exponentially. Every year we add more and more and more and more to it.
And I don't know what happened to that car that the Tesla people just shot up there. Is that out of orbit, or is that thing?
That's heading out of the solar system. I think it's heading more or less in the direction of Mars, but it's not going to hit Mars, that's for sure. But it's basically on the way out of the solar system, so it'll be going for literally billions of years, just going.
On solar power alone. Hey, that's astrophysicist Paul Wallace. He's going to stick with us here over the break. So if you've got a question for him, 952-946-6205. And we'll be back on Minnesota's Progressive Repartee after the break.
Hello, this is Brett's grandmother. You are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is your daily legislative update on AM 950 with House Speaker Melissa Hortman. Each day we'll check in with Speaker Hortman to find out what's going on at the state legislature.
Two concerns of mine that I saw at the at-issue lightning round. The first issue was single-payer health care. You responded eventually. I'd like to give you the chance to respond with more than a one-word answer, unlike how that forum was set up.
Right. So we definitely, I think, over time in our society are going to get there as a first world country. We're one of the few that hasn't really figured out an efficient way to provide health care to our populations. You look at Scandinavia and Europe, who are some of the leaders in this, and we definitely need to get there. On the other hand, we have a very large infrastructure to build to make sure that everybody gets excellent health care. So we don't want to make a transition to a system like that quickly. Right now, more than 95% of Minnesotans have employer-based health insurance coverage, and we have pretty good coverage rates, but what we need to really improve are health outcomes. And so the question is, how do we make the transition and preserve quality and increase access and do that in a way where we can afford that transition from a tax campaign.
That was your daily legislative update on AM 950 with House Speaker Melissa Hortman. Each day we'll check in with Speaker Hortman to find out what's going on at the state legislature.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, this is Rick Shiomi from Full Circle Theater Company, and I hope you can join us for Repartee. That's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
And welcome back to Minnesota's Progressive Repartee, the name that we've given to our little afternoon conversation, where it's not only fun banter, which repartee means, it's also, we like to say it, repartee. It's our repartee. And astrophysicist Paul Wallace. Paul from Egan has joined us. He's got a question for the astrophysicist about polar vortex.
Hi,
hey, Paul. Talk to Paul.
I had a question about what resources I can cite that say that the polar vortexes are actually related to the situation of climate change.
It's a great question, Paul.
There's a connection between the intensity and frequency of the polar vortex and climate change.
Yeah.
Is that the question?
I don't really know.
Yeah. I don't follow that really tightly. I understand that there is a connection, but I don't know. I can't point you to a good resource for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because Paul from Egan, you know, one of the things that the President of the United States wrote the other day in his official statements that he does via the website Twitter, he wrote, big polar vortex making people in the Midwest cold. Where's all that global warming? We could use some of that now.
I should have answered the question by telling him where not to go.
Yeah, the President of the United States. Paul raises a really good question because I've heard this cute little phrase. We have a climatologist here in the area who's also goes by Paul. It's a bit appalling how many Pauls there are in this thing. But that Paul Douglas is famous for referring it as global weirding, not just global warming. So saying that it changes, all kinds of things are getting changed up because of climate change, that global warming.
Well, maybe that theory, if it's, it would explain a lot, I guess.
The warming causes weirding is his catch. Yeah. All right. What else we got on the skies? What else is happening?
We've got other things going on. One of them is that, well, you know, Doug, that the universe is expanding. You know that? Have you heard that before?
I've heard this, and I've heard people say, much like my midsection, the universe is expanding. it's a joke I've heard from middle-aged people. Yeah, I've heard that it's expanding.
You may be surprised to know that the universe is expanding faster than your midsection.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's really cooking. It turns out. But we don't know exactly how fast, and that's and we've gotten some news lately about a new way to determine how fast the universe is expanding. It's called the Hubble constant.
Mm-hmm.
The number, the Hubble constant, tells you how fast the universe is expanding. The bigger the Hubble constant is, the faster it's expanding. Okay. So, the story is that we have a new way to tell how fast it's expanding. It's really cooking. So what this means is that every distant galaxy is moving away from us. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
There's
two things confusing about this. Maybe you can straighten them up for me. I saw this headline, too, about the Hubble constant changing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right off the bat, I'm already confused why it's the Hubble constant and it's changing. Don't know what the word constant means.
You're perceptive, Grasshopper, because
thank you.
That's actually not a constant. It's not well named.
This isn't helping the science.
Every astronomer knows it. Yeah.
It's not helping the science pitch, you know, when people are like, well, don't worry about those words. They don't mean what you think.
Oh, we have all kinds of things that are poorly named, believe me. This is just one of them. So it's
I did have a doctor say to me yesterday, hip surgeon say to me, well, we could do this test on you to see if there's a pseudo tumor. He goes, oh, but don't worry about that. Pseudo means no tumor. So let's just say that that we're going to look to make sure there's no tumor by calling it a tumor.
Yeah, you really should find a different name for that thing.
Yeah, he said it's a really bad name, but you know what? You get what we mean. Science is full of that kind of stuff.
It is. It's chock full of it, it turns out.
Yeah. Okay, so the constants happen. So the other thing that confuses me, what's at the edge of the universe so that we know that it's expanding? And what's next?
Oh, we don't have to see to the edge of it.
Okay.
We can't see to the edge of it. The most likely scenario, Doug, whether or not this fits well in your imagination, is that there is no edge.
That's what I thought, too. I thought there can't be an edge, so if there's not an edge, then... But I did see The Matrix the other night in a theater.
Speaking of old music, you know the old Kansas record with the ship falling off the edge of the earth?
Yes.
You know, there's old pictures of the ships, finding the edge of the flat earth and falling off into space.
Yeah.
There's no, edge of the universe like that, where, things just stop.
So what's expanding? The center's expanding?
Distances between things are getting bigger.
The distances between things are getting... What's in between universes? What's in between galaxies?
Just space.
And that space is getting more.
That space is expanding.
Wow.
Yeah, is not like a... We're used to thinking space as like kind of the static background thing.
Yes.
It just sort of sits there, you know, and doesn't really do much. But space, for the astronomer, space is not like that. We don't think of space that way. Physicists don't think of space that way. Space can actually stretch and twist kind of like fabric.
Mm.
And it's stretching out between here and distant galaxies. I'm not making this up. This is actual, this is not, Star Trek here.
No, because if you're making it up, all the words would make sense, right? No one's going to make it up in a way that doesn't. Yeah, that's... I have a friend who's written a book. Her name's Danielle Schroyer. Maybe you know her, but she's got a whole thing that's based on...
Yeah, I know Danielle.
Yeah, on the notion of the expanding universe and how that, for her, impacts her understanding of humanity, of God, of all things are open and expanding.
I've not read this.
Oh, yeah, she's got a whole thing about this. Yeah. Yeah, it roots into her following of a theologian named Jürgen Moltmann.
Moltmann. Yeah, right.
Hey, astrophysicist Paul Wallace, thanks for being our space partner on Fridays. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Happy to join you, Doug.
Hey, and if anyone's going over to the Terror film screening, I'm heading over there myself. We'll see you in a bit.
Progressive repartee. This is the end of our program, or the departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.